Welcome to Pink Kink,
where we talk about the pretty, twisted side of kink.
I'm Princess Rara.
And I'm Dara, the Electro Khaleesi.
Whether you are a new kinkster or have years of experience, Pink Kink will help you level up your kink knowledge.
Join us on this journey as we talk about our personal experiences and use the knowledge we've gained over 28 years of being involved in both private and professional aspects of this lifestyle to help you explore every facet of kink.
Get set for an adventure. Not only will you learn and grow, but we promise loads of laughter, turning each episode into a fun party. So fasten your seatbelt and let's get this show started. Pink Kink runs off the generosity of our devoted patrons.
As a patron, you will become a member of our special Discord server, receive some adorable Pink Kink stickers, as well as have access to a monthly behind-the-scenes podcast. Patrons also get discounts at our Etsy shop, Pink Kink Boutique, and our online classes at Pink Kink Institute.
In addition, our impactful and electrifying Pink Kinksters get special audio and video episodes. And finally, patrons at our highest tier will be recognized as producers, both here on the podcast and on our website.
If you would like to become a patron, you can visit us at patreon.com/pinkkinkpodcast or click the link at pinkkinkpodcast.com.
Today's episode is produced by our electrifying Pink Kinksters. Thank you, Jay, Witcherman, Brianna Lynn, Daddy Jay, Fabe, Embers, Blossom, William P., Claire, Lady Blooding, Naughty and Nice, Butte Pain, Manda Panda, Cat, Stefan, Shadow Phoenix, Voldy, Christopher, Kilted Sir, Brian, May Cry Devil, Ruby Riot, Mistress Velma, Enchanted Sparrow, The Wombat, Impact Hazard, Twitch, The Midnight Girl, Sinful, J21, Daisy If You Do, AK Harley Chick, Violet Rain,
Serenity, Belle, Eric, Lady Affliction, Dr. Dave, Pumpkin Pie, Ms. Tourmaline, S'more, Hacksaw, Wee Mad Beastie, To Be Better For Me, 3AM Thoughts, Forest, BP Bryn, Crash Override, Kinky Bear, Barbie, Navigator Bard, Frost, Sinful and Naughty, Coffee and Chaos, Noir, Haley's Comet, Mr. Pillsbury, Peaches, Mighty Owl, Princess Sassy Pants, Lady and Lex, Chaos Monster, Kristen, Casper, Hazel Page, and Jessica.
I almost want to just sort of get started because we have a lot to talk about in this particular episode.
But I'm lit tired.
But we also have a lot to talk about in our dungeon adventures. And that's kind of like our shtick to talk about dungeon adventures first and then get into.
Well, who cares about the shtick part? It's so that we can actually remember.
Well, I got a lot of shticks that night, so I need to talk about all those shticks.
My mic's not staying up.
Because you're not being nice to the mic. Nice to Mike and Mike will be nice to you.
I am very nice to Mike. Know? I think Mike needs Viagra.
But yeah, I had a lot of shticks, so I'm going to want to talk about all the shticks I got.
I may not remember all my shticks. I remember one in particular, which I feel bad, but I'm going to say it anyway, and the person knows that I'm going to say it, so yeah. So go ahead, start your shtick.
Well, no, I figure you because you're going to want to tune out when I talk about my shticks.
Okay, my shtick first, if I can remember all of them. Okay, so the one, this is the, I feel so bad for this person.
Should we talk about, this is risque, guys. We're talking about risque.
Yes, so risque, according to the recording, was a week ago, whatever. But like, this is never going to leave my head, unfortunately, for this person. gets on my table, or is about to get on my table and says, okay, I like da 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 da. Cool, you went to Dungeon 101. I can tell. And I don't like da 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 da. Okay, great, fantastic. I can work with that. We'll do this tonight. Sounds great? Okay, sounds good. Okay, so they're climbing on the table. My safe word is, I don't know what they said. Banana. Doesn't matter what they said. And I said, no, your safe word is I'm going to give you this little thing. And if you want it to stop, you're going to drop the little handheld thing because it's too loud in here for me to hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's too fucking loud. And he goes, oh, okay, that works. Is that like really how it works? I was like, yes, honey, that's how it works. Go ahead. You can lay down however you want, strip, do whatever you need to do. If you let go of this thing, everything stops. Okay, cool. So we get through that part and I'm like, oh, this person is going to be interesting. Already very interesting. Already so much fun. And so I do my thing. We did more sensual and scratchy because they don't like thuddy. They don't like blah, blah, you know, all this other stuff. I'm like, all right, cool. So we're at the end. turns over, rolls up, looks at me and goes, do you have any lasers? I was like, what?
I'm sorry, excuse me?
The what? And they said, yeah, I was really hoping for some electro play.
What did he think had been happening up until that point?
That's what I said. I was like, honey, the entire last 15 minutes has been electro play.
Okay. So the fact that when he put his name on the sign up sheet that has at the top electro play.
Here's the thing. It does not.
Oh, it doesn't.
It says Violet Wand. So apparently he misunderstood that Violet Wand was in fact electro play.
Newbies are so cute.
Aren't they just? And I'm laughing, but also not. And it's like, also, lasers are totally different than electro. They're laser.
Not electro.
And also, what the fuck is laser play going to do? It's light.
Oh my God, you're almost speechless here.
I couldn't even like come up with what to say. I was like, honey, that's what we've been doing. And he's like, really? That's what this was? I was like, uh-huh. You see that little device you were holding on to and it's attached to the violet wand? That's where the electricity is coming from. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Did you just want to pat them on the head and go, you're so cute?
I did, actually. That was what I was going to say. I patted him on the head and I said, you're so pretty. I was like, I'm sorry. I hate to tell you this, but I'm on a podcast and this story is definitely going in the podcast. And he goes, yeah, that makes sense. I understand completely. Like, I think that he was really embarrassed about it, but also like, yeah, I get it. That was bad.
Oh my God.
It's like, honey. Oh. Okay. Oh, so that was probably the best thing, the funniest thing to happen all night. The rest of it was, it was pretty generic for me.
It was fucking packed.
It was insane.
Like, so I was up front. Vixen and I were both hosts that night. We were laughing because we had never done the spiel as many times in one night as we had done that night.
Do you want to do the spiel right now in announcer voice?
No. I can't. It's like my voice. I need to save my voice for this shit. But it was like it, and there was constant. Like people just, it didn't stop for 3 hours. I mean, I am off. So the dungeon doors open at 9, right? And then they close at 2, which was also very confusing because it was daylight savings.
Yes.
So it closed at 2, but then became 3.
Right.
So it was interesting, as you would say, to try to figure out. But I laughed. Oh,
That's not our problem. That would be Cosmos.
Well,
and
I
the
asked.
Crucible's
I'm like
problem.
Going. So which 2 does it close at?
The 2. Does it close at 2 or 3?
Right. Well, they said what happens is since the time change happens at 2 anyway, that's we're just going to close it.
Close at 2.
At 2, which is 3. Anyway, but it was just constant people. And I had to, as you had somebody who maybe wasn't fully paying attention, I also had a numbnut who apparently all the signs up in the changing area that said no cell phones. This is a no cell phone zone. Somebody didn't think that applied to them.
Is it me?
No, it wasn't you. Though we did have to talk to you that night.
Because I pulled it out and I was not focused at all on that. I saw you guys. I wanted to stand with you guys. And I was just like, oh, and then you pointed to the sign. I was like, oh, fuck. And I like kept walking.
But in addition to, I met a ton of people, a couple of people going, oh, you're Princess Rara. Love Pink Ink Podcast. Mm-hmm.
I got a few of those too.
And then I had to help somebody with their outfit. Occasionally somebody will have straps or issues that they sort of need an extra set of hands. So help with that too. It was, that was the basic night. But then afterward, once it hit midnight and I'm finally like, I'm out of here. I was a woman on a mission. So I don't know if I've talked about this or not, but my needle top and I have set a couple of goals. Dar's turning away from the mic and opening up her phone. So we had set a couple of goals, and I always feel like, as when I'm bottoming, I always feel like I'm taking and not giving, which is kind of silly because when I'm the top, I understand that I'm also taking as the top, but it's just a hard mindset to get out of when I'm bottoming. So I wanted to help my top reach some goals that they had set so that I could give back to them. And one of the things that they and I had talked about was the number of needles that they had done in a person. Their number that they had done, the max, was 300. So up until this point, I'd only done 145 was my max. So I didn't think I could like surpass that already. But we set a goal that night for 200 needles.
Okay, wait. Insert Dara's bleh.
So the funny thing is like, I'm nervous about it, but I'm going, it's going to be okay. We'll do like 25 gauge, which are the small ones. We'll be fine. Then Fez comes through at one point, and he's also very much into the needles and hook suspension and stuff. So he's my cheerleader. You got this. You can do it, whatever. So he comes by, he goes, oh, I was over in the needle area. Learning curve is set aside. The 200 needles for you.
I actually like how Fez is the one that always like walks people with from the needle scenes to the photo booth.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's he's super sweet.
And you guys also have to understand he's what, like, got to be like 6'4", 6'5"?
So, yeah, and hugely muscular. Yeah. I mean, this dude is, he's a bear.
He is an absolute bear in all the best possible ways.
He's a big, hairy, bald, bearded bear.
Yeah.
He should enter our beard contest.
Well, you're having the beard contest.
Yeah. Okay. I need to work on that.
You should. Add that to your to-do list. So I get there, and Learning Curve's got the 200 needles set up. And apparently it was not the small 25-gauge needles. They had picked some larger needles. Now, the biggest needles I have done to date are 16, and I only done a few of them. I have done... And for anybody who doesn't realize or hasn't paid attention in my previous talking about needles, the gauge in needles goes up as the needle gets smaller. It's backwards. So I had done Lobos, which is 50 needles of 18 gauge. So of the 200, Learning Curve had picked 100 needles in a 20 gauge, 50 needles of a 19 gauge, and 50 needles of an 18 gauge.
Well, at least it wasn't 16s.
It wasn't. But it wasn't, I wasn't expecting Lobos Plus. But I didn't want to hurt Learning Curve's feelings. And I'm like going, all right, we got this. We can do this. So I sat down and the needles started going in. And I got to do one of my favorite things to do, which is watch the crowd as they walk by and see all the double takes. As they kind of glance to the side.
That whip head.
And then whip their heads when they realize that there's somebody.
They whip their heads back and forth.
Well, some people do because like they whip their heads, see it, and hurry up and whip it away. People just stop and are like. And then what was funny is a couple of people, as I'm sitting there getting the needles put in, I had to tell a couple of the observers they needed to move. Because they were getting, there's a St. Andrew's cross right by the medical play area. And somebody was trying to do a scene on it. And there were people who wanted to watch my scene who were in the way of the other scene of the St. Andrew's cross. I'm like, so I'm still almost DMing while I'm getting needles stuck in me.
Oh,
going,
my Lord.
Going, guys, you got to move.
That's not good for the headspace.
So I'm an exhibitionist. So having people watch me and talking to them works just fine for me. An extroverted exhibitionist. So talking to people watching my scenes is sort of my happy place. So we get the first 100 in. Boom, 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 really fast. And Learning Curve was very good. It was like 50 on one breast, then we take a break, 50 on the other breast, then 50. So I had a chance to go through. I was surprised it was a little more painful than I had necessarily been anticipating, but I'm stubborn as shit. So I'm like, I'm fucking doing this. I've made a commitment. I've told a bunch of people. I can't back down from this. So then we get the 19s in. And I'm like going, okay, this hurts. And the other thing too is as they're moving up on the breast and we're getting closer to collarbone territory where the skin is thinner, we're going out of the fatty breast tissue into thinner tissue, it's a little more painful.
I feel like the higher or the higher gauge ones should have been lower. So like, or lower gauge, whatever. So the thicker ones should have been lower.
Well, yeah. And I feel like the thicker ones should have been done first.
Yeah.
So then it got easier, not harder.
Well, maybe, you know, the point was to warm you up or something.
Maybe. So by the time we got the 150 in of the 20 and 19 gauge, I was very proud of myself because normally in the past, I've been known to just suck it up, buttercup, and do shit that I don't necessarily want to do because, again, I'm stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
But I also knew that part of the problem was is I had to drive myself home. So I could not get too horribly spacey, and I was getting spacey. So I spoke up and I just said, I cannot do 50 18 gauge. I just can't do it.
Okay.
And Learning Curve, bless their heart, was like, okay. And we figured out. So we did, but the problem was also how many they had of different gauges. So I think we ended up then doing 22 gauge for 30.
Okay.
And then switched to 25 gauge for the last 20,
are tiny.
They are small. That's the smallest that I carry in my kit. And I did it. And then we got to, I had to walk into the photo booth, which is on the other side, and get pictures taken. And then it was so cute because just to show you how space I am, Rain is like, okay, now let's do one where you cover your nipples. And I went, we don't need to do that with covering my nipples. I don't care. My nipples are all over fucking FetLife. And she's like, no, Cosmo can't post the picture if your nipples are showing. And I went, okay, I'll cover my nipples then.
Yeah.
So
they're gonna wanna post
right?
That,
well, so
sure.
We come back and we're getting the things out. Cosmo comes over and checks because Cosmo had been paying attention and watching. And I said to him, I go, we took some pictures covering the nipples so you could use them. He's like, oh, cool, thank you. This is one of the problems that I'm seeing more of as the events are getting bigger and we're getting more new people. I mean, I am all for new people. We need to keep fresh blood and keep going.
Lord knows I like new people.
Right? But I almost wish our dungeon had a policy that you cannot attend any event until you've attended 101.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, people tell me they attend 101 and still, I don't know if they weren't paying attention or they came in halfway or something.
There's a group of people that want to come. They're new. They want to try something different. We actually talked about it on one of the anniversary episodes, the one with Minnie. She has a group of friends that just want to do something daring and out of the ordinary, right? And they found out that she has gone to Risqué. And I was like, okay, how many people is this? Like 5, 6 of them, new people? Let's take them to 101 first. Because if they can't handle 101, they definitely should not. They have no business going to Risqué.
Honestly, To me, Risqué is advanced. It's
yes.
not a beginner event.
No. Which one of the events besides 101 would you call beginner? Like if we had to categorize.
Well, it's hard because normally I would call Blush and Bruise a good event for beginner, but the last one was jam fucking packed. So I don't know.
It's getting bigger, which is great on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's like, holy shit, this is a lot of people and there's not enough of demos, there's not enough hosts, and there's not enough DMs to handle all of this.
So I was sitting on the table, and Learning Curve had put a stack of chucks next to me because we were using the chucks to put up against my breast to stop the bleeding, right? And when
is this after the needles came out?
Yes.
Okay.
But here's the funny thing. This is also just to show you how spacey I was. So Learning Curve said to me, you've got 400 holes in you. Actually, this is even before I was spacing. I'm just so nervous. Learning Curve's going, I'm going to put 400 holes in you. And my first thought was, I only agreed to 200 needles. What the fuck are they talking about 400 needles? I only agreed to 200 needles.
Oh my God.
And then I went, oh yeah, it goes in and out. So that's 2 holes per needle. So 200 times 2 is 400.
Listen, is why Ra-Ra does not do math.
I was told there'd be no math.
There's no math in kinking.
So
guess what?
Apparently there is. I mean, I thought there'd be no math when I'm bottoming. I understand when I'm topping, but not when I'm bottoming.
Oh, honey.
So anyway.
You're so pretty. Pat, pat, pat.
So this guy comes over and he looks for some chucks and he sees the stack on the table next to me and just comes over and helps himself to one and walks away. And learning curve and I just kind of stop and look at each other and go, huh?
Yeah.
And then he came back to get another one. And at that point, I stopped him and I went, excuse me, you could at least ask first. I was bitchy. Learning curve was actually very educational. And I was impressed. Learning curve was like, listen, you see this? This is a scene. This is a scene that involves blood. The area around her is not sterile. You are taking things off the table.
That is sterile.
No, it's not that it's sterile. You may very well have taken things that have blood on them. You don't know. It's part of this scene, which is a blood-involved scene. And you're now taking things off. You don't know if that's clean or not.
Well, good for learning curve.
So I said that to them afterward. I said, you were so much kinder than I was. But I was hurt.
Yeah, no, you don't have to be kind every single time. I'm glad you're realizing this now, Ra-Ra.
Well, I am kind, except when I'm in pain. Well, that's not true. When I'm in the hospital with the kidney stones, I'm very kind to the medical personnel. But that's also because they have good drugs, and I want the good drugs. So,
and if you're bitchy, they don't give you the good drugs.
No, they're slow when they walk to you.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry, medical personnel. I'm sure even people who are bitchy, you understand it's in pain and you don't. I'm joking, okay?
Listen. If food service people can get back at rude customers in the way that we all know that they do, then medical staff can also get back at rude people, okay?
Yeah. So,
not saying that happens.
So that was a nice little lesson. It took me a while to you know, the blood finally stopped. That's 400 holes.
You were leaking.
It was leaking.
like a sprinkler.
But what was really cool is, you know, like my friends, of course, came up and said, wow, amazing, well job. I mean, Dar didn't because Dar was nowhere to be seen.
Dara was working.
Even if you weren't working.
I would not have come to see, no.
Be honest, come on.
Hey, aren't you proud of me that I'm sitting here listening and participating and calling you a leaky, cauldron.
Well, I'll tell you about that in a minute. So, but we had total strangers coming up, not only to me, but also to tell Learning Curve what an amazing job they had done. And that's really very cool. But the funny thing, talking about the leak, so the next day I posted in the patron Discord server, which you can join by becoming a patron at patreon.com/pinkkingpodcast. And for as little as $2 a month, you can join our Patreon server. So thank you. I posted a picture of like a geyser and I went, actual footage of my breasts while I'm drinking water.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, I did see that. I did see that, and I just kind of nope right back out.
But anyway, so I accomplished it. I did my 200 needles. I am waiting for the pictures to show. If you are on FetLife, I do have posted the after of my breasts with a lot of holes in them. And then the after with all the bruises, because they're quite colorful with bruises. So that was the adventure. Are we ready to actually talk about the subject?
Yeah, let's go.
I'm just curious. We haven't even mentioned what the subject is. Have we set a new record?
Nope.
Oh, damn.
We are very close, however. But I figured you wouldn't want to, like, you know, do that on purpose.
No, it has to be. It doesn't count if you do it on purpose. It only counts if it happens naturally.
Okay, well, you're like 2 minutes short.
All right. Well, now that you've mentioned it, it wouldn't be natural,
yeah,
so I can't
do it. Well, you mentioned it.
I know. All right, so today's topic is exploring behavior modification through BDSM. I wanted to do this because I know, and I'm pretty sure I've told the story about how I used my DS Dynamic to train myself to floss my teeth.
Yeah, I kind of need to do that.
Yeah.
I need that. I can barely, like, Daddy J can't even get me to, like, brush my teeth consistently.
Well, Daddy J needs to up his consequences game.
Which sounds vile. I am not a dirty person, but like half the time I will be in bed already and then be like, fuck, I forgot to brush my teeth, or fuck, I forgot to take my meds, or fuck, I forgot something.
Yeah. So
ADHD shit is really fucking with me.
Yeah. So I thought it would be kind of fun to talk about this and how you can use a DS Dynamic
to modify behavior. I mean, one of the things that I personally hate, I'm sure Dar has her own opinions about it, is when people talk about, well, the Dom is going to break the sub.
Nope.
And I hate that. But I'm totally okay if the Dom wants to break their sub's bad habits.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Okay.
Breaking to me is like, you don't even do that to horses anymore. That's bad horse training.
Well, it's what they do in the military. They break you down to create a mindset of listening and following orders. And it's done on purpose. And to me, a DS dynamic, though, is not the military.
It's not. And I don't even like that.
Right. So just in case you guys don't know what behavior modification is, it's a method used to encourage positive behavior and tackle negative habits. And it helps you improve your relationship, manage mental health, foster personal development. I mean, it can be whatever you want. I use behavior modification to floss my teeth. I know people who use behavior modification for exercising or healthy sleep habits or healthy eating habits. There's so many different things you can use it for. I mean, the purpose behind it is obviously promoting positive behavior. You want the desirable behaviors and discourage the undesirable behaviors. It helps with learning and development because you can use behavior modification so subs can learn new behaviors or skills, develop healthier habits. And the cool thing with this, it doesn't just have to be things specific to like kink. You could ask your Dom to help you with health goals, job goals, family goals, relationship goals. It doesn't have to be just kink related.
It's literally, to me, it's about building you up. Even though what I do a lot of humiliation, which is, you know, in itself tearing you down, but it's not really. I don't really know how to explain that one, but it's different. It's not completely trying to deliberately break your brain.
Yeah. You can use it. You can address specific behaviors that might be problematic or disruptive in a person's life. I mean, that's why I would always have my dominant set bedtimes for me, because otherwise I'll stay up to the wee hours of the morning and not even on dungeon nights.
I was going to say, you did that last night.
Well, that's the other problem. Like, I came home. This is what happens now when I'm the dominant. I haven't set good behaviors for me. So
can you dom yourself? You did collar yourself.
I could, but I'm a brat, so I don't listen.
But you're also very stubborn. So wouldn't your dom, your dom side versus your dom caregiver side versus your brat side in a battle of wills?
Yeah, I
that's a novel.
That's I'm scared by that.
I think it'd be awesome. You could journal the who won this night.
Oh, God. I did.
Correct.
Which really is all that matters is I won.
I won. Yeah, so
you know I don't like to lose.
You would just win no matter what. So I guess that whole thing doesn't matter. But I'd like to see, you know, like the points. Who got a point this night? Who got a point this night?
Behavior modification usually involves setting up structured routines and reinforcement schedules, so you can promote consistency and make sure. I know a lot of people who use behavior modification to manage symptoms of mental health disorders, such as anxiety or depression. You know, I have a friend who recently went through a little bit of depression and was able to recognize that part of it was because they had been sick. So they were stuck indoors while they were sick, and not being able to get out and get fresh air and sunshine caused a depressive state. So this is a case where you as the Dom would create rules that say you have to be outside for even just 15 minutes. And maybe even though you are sick, it could be going outside just on your front patio or back patio and getting 15 minutes.
Bring your blankie with you and just go stand outside and let the sun hit your face.
Now, I have actually taken classes on behavior modification, though it's been quite a few years. So I've learned about this stuff, which is the history behind behavior modification and the theories and the research included by some people you may have heard of. There's John B. Watson and B.F. Skinner. But the one you probably all know is Ivan Pavlov.
Ding.
Exactly. I did. So when I took the behavior modification classes in college, I had a lab where we had to train a rat through behavior modification. And I think I named my rat Shakespeare.
Yeah.
He was very smart. So you would put the rat in this cage and there was a button that they needed to press. And when they pressed the button, food came out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you train them. But I'm advanced,
mm-hmm,
and I wasn't about to touch my rat. So I actually trained my rat to jump from his cage that he lived in into the training cage.
Nice.
And back. So I didn't have to touch the rat.
Nice.
So I got an A. because
that's above and beyond.
Right.
I mean, it's the same way you train dogs. My dogs can do puzzles. Like literally they push buttons, they spin things around because I put food in the puzzle. So it's the same thing.
Ooh, yeah. There you go. Very smart. So Pavlov's dog, you all know, it's the whole classical conditioning where he showed animals that you could learn to associate neutral stimuli with reflexive responses.
If I get another dog and name it Pavlov, will people just like really be all pissed about it? Because I think it's funny.
I think it would be funny because it'd be Pavlov's dog.
No, it'd be Pavlov dog.
Oh, Pavlov dog. That's true. But the classical conditioning is applied in behavior modification all the time. You might not even realize that's what you're doing when you're doing behavior modification. Another one, which is the B.F. Skinner one, is called operant conditioning, which is, again, the idea of reinforcement and punishment. So Pavlov is more about you learn if you do A, then B happens, to the point that, you know, in this case, I think with Pavlov, it was the ringing of a bell, right?
Yeah.
So the dog, every time the dog would hear a bell, it associated that.
With a treat.
With a treat.
So actually, there's a whole thing on, what is it? The Office. Have you ever seen it?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, you really should. It's hysterical. But first of all, Jim actually Pavlov's Dwight. It's the whole running gag in the show for, you know, rah-rah. And those of you who haven't watched it is they pull, like Jim pulls a lot of pranks on Dwight. And in one episode, every time some sound happens, he offers Dwight gum. So then one time the sound happened and Dwight immediately holds his hand up for the gum. And Jim goes, "What are you doing, man?" And Dwight's like, "I don't know." And like puts it back down. He totally, it's 100% Pavlov.
There you go. So, and with operant conditioning, it's more like you are the idea of reinforcement and then punishment to shape the behavior. What he did, though, he didn't like punish necessarily like spanking or hitting. Punishment was you remove something.
Oh, kind of like when I was a teenager and I did some dumb shit and my parents took my phone out my room?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. But it's also, you can also use what they call negative reinforcement, which is when you remove something unpleasant. So let's say with negative reinforcement, you are removing or avoiding a negative consequence. So when the desired behavior occurs, for example, so a submissive might be allowed to skip a chore if they finish their other chores promptly. So by removing the unpleasant task, maybe it's their chore that they despise the most.
So it's a reward?
So yeah, negative reinforcement is a reward. But instead of positive reinforcement where it's a reward by I give you a treat.
Right.
Negative reinforcement is I reward you by taking something away you don't like.
Ooh, got you. Okay, so for me, it would be, hi, you don't have to do your laundry today.
Ding, 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 ding.
I will do it for you.
Exactly.
I like it.
Right? That's the difference between positive and negative reinforcement.
I still need a laundry sub.
Don't we all? I'm going to talk about in our next episode we record, I need a wife to do all this.
Yep.
Right? So again, you've got positive reinforcement, which involves a reward or positive consequence. I know we always think about consequences as a bad thing, but consequences just mean what's going to happen, you know, what occurs because something happened.
There's natural consequences. So my parents, I think I've mentioned this before. I have a brother with Down syndrome. So it's kind of a fine line with him because he takes everything very, very literally. So my parents never punished, per se, him.
Mm-hmm.
I got punished. But for him, they said they used consequences, the word consequence a lot. There's a lot of natural consequences that happen.
Yep.
So like we went to the beach. They told him, don't throw your ball into the water. It'll get lost. Don't throw your ball into the water. So what does he do? He throws the ball in the water. Current takes it away. It was gone. And the natural consequence was no more ball. He wasn't punished, but he didn't get the ball back.
Well, that's like the natural consequence when I stay up till 4 a.m. I'm fucking exhausted the next day and life is difficult.
Yes. It's almost like you have a hangover, which is what I'm struggling with right now. Not the hangover.
I call them dungeon hangovers these days.
I really do. I have one right now. I know you're watching me going, is she going to like pass out? I'm like, yeah.
Just tell me what buttons to press and I'll just do the rest. But
okay.
You want to do the next episode, so you got to stay awake.
I really do.
That's why I said let's do this one first, because I'm giving you motivation to survive.
Is this behavior modification?
Yeah.
Your behavior modificating me right now?
It's a positive reinforcement because you're going to get a reward.
If you stay awake, you get to yell into the microphone
in the
next episode.
You get to have your own kerfuffling.
I'm so excited.
See, there's your little teaser, folks, for next week. So stick around.
Dara causes a kerfuffle. Stay tuned for next week's episode.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
What?
You're so young.
I'm just a baby.
All right. So this is what I've done as a dominant. I've used positive reinforcement more than I use negative reinforcement, just because this wasn't a submissive who I lived with and saw so often that I could do some negative reinforcement. But I know positive reinforcement is very common, especially for you littles.
Oh, I was just going to say that.
Right? Because
give us a sticker. We'll do whatever you want.
Because examples include giving praise.
Yep.
The whole, you know, when you get told good girl, good boy, whatever. Giving tokens. And tokens, stickers would be a token.
Okay. Candy?
Candy.
Okay.
And then, of course, giving privileges. You were a very good subby, so I will extend your bedtime a half an hour.
Ooh.
Or I know you've really been wanting to watch the new season of Love is Blind on Netflix. Now you can go watch it because you did your other chores that you needed to do.
I literally will actually do chores. So, like, I unloaded the dishwasher. It's a thing, you know, I do it all the time. But this time I went up to Daddy and I said, hey, Daddy, guess what? I unloaded the dishwasher. I did all by myself and you didn't have to remind me. And he goes, good job, princess. I was like, I get a sticker? He goes, okay, well, we'll talk about that. I was like, no, I get a sticker.
Okay, you need to just go out and buy a bunch of stickers, give them to Daddy, and say, these are my reward stickers.
You probably should. The problem is I've been trying to figure out what stickers I want.
Oh, that is a problem.
And it's really difficult because there's so goddamn many.
Yeah.
If anybody would like to send me a list of the type of stickers that they think I should get for reward stickers, no, they cannot be stars because that's too cliche.
There's another type of behavior modification called extinction.
Huh? No, that doesn't sound good.
It doesn't. But here, extinction basically means you withhold the reinforcement for a previously reinforced behavior. And then that behavior goes away. Example.
The dinosaurs.
Brats who get attention for the tantrums they throw and the bad behavior. And how do you do it? So a prime example of extinction is when I brat to John. So he stops hitting me and takes out the rabbit fur.
You're welcome. I told him to do that.
Because what happens is I eventually stop bratting because I don't like the damn rabbit fur.
Wow.
Now, in a true behavior modification program, that would mean I'd eventually stop bratting. But again, rewind to where we talk about me being stubborn and not liking to lose. And you'll understand why it only pauses my bratty behavior. It doesn't stop it.
Does that mean that John wins
John wins because I let him.
John wins the battle, but he will not win the war.
Ding, 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 ding. Because honestly, I could hit myself if I really needed to.
True. And you have.
And I do. I did last night. Oh, that's a whole nother story.
I was going to say, wait, save it for next week, honey.
Yeah. Okay. We already talked about what the official terminology is called token economy, which is the system of using tokens or points as a form of currency to reinforce desired behaviors. So subs could earn tokens for completing tasks or exhibiting target behavior. And the token can be the reward itself, like a sticker, or you can exchange it for other rewards or privileges. So maybe, and this is very common for anybody who works with children, which, you know, if you've got a little, it's almost the same thing. But it's like if you earn 5 stickers, then your caregiver will take you to see that movie that you wanted to see. Or if you earn 20 stickers, you get to go to Build-A-Bear.
I like this. So like you can cash in your sticker prize at any time.
Right. And what I recommend, if that's something you'd want to do in your DS dynamic, give them options. So don't have just a five stickers equals this.
No, it's got to be a choice board.
Well, the reason that, I mean a choice board is you would have five stickers equal this, but 10 stickers equals this, 15 would equal that. So they can choose to turn in at five, or maybe they want that 50 sticker item because that's a big one.
Yeah, it's kind of like going to the arcade. You get tickets, you can either spend them on small stuff immediately, or you can save and save and save and save and get the big thing.
One of the other things that I found is something called biofeedback, which is, let's say you have a submissive who has anxiety issues, right? And anxiety is going to show themselves in psychological processes such as your heart rate, muscle tension. So you want to try to learn to control that. And you need the biofeedback to find out that your heart rate's gone up and all that. Well, what's really cool is now we have smartwatches. Many of us
do all that for you.
That tell you. So that once you see that you are exhibiting the elevated heart rate, whatever, you can use your breathing techniques, or that's your sign to get out of that situation. Anyway, there's also, of course, modeling, which is I behave properly and then you learn from that behavior.
You learn proper behavior, right? By watching other people. Yes.
Okay. Then there's, of course, I laugh because there's CBT, which could mean two totally different things.
Which, funny story, I'm just going to insert this right here because it's appropriate. That happened last night. Somebody got it confused. I mentioned that I do electro CBT, and this girl looks at me and goes, cognitive behavioral therapy? You can do that in kink? And I said, okay, well, yes. But that's not what I said.
And you could use electro to do it.
You could, yes. But
you can actually combine the CBT and the CBT.
I could, yes. And there's another form of CBT. I think it's like something in computers.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't remember.
So basically, in this instance, cognitive behavioral therapy is a form of therapy that aims to understand and change the way people think and behave when they're feeling upset or behaving in ways that aren't helpful. So it's a good way to help subs deal with their stress. Maybe if they've got harmful thoughts and try to work through that, and then discovering better methods to handle tough situations. So imagine someone who has a fear of seeing in public. Take Dara, for example.
Why are we giving people ideas?
Well, because listen, you've actually done this, right? So whenever you, and I'm talking about bottoming, she has no problem seeing in public as the top.
No, I just have a fear of bottoming.
Bottoming in public, right? So whenever Dara has to see, they would experience intense anxiety and negative thoughts like I'm going to embarrass myself, or people will think I'm incompetent, or will laugh at me.
Yeah.
Right. And then those thoughts lead to avoiding the whole situation.
Yep.
Coming up with excuses not to see, or feeling extremely nervous. Well, with CBT, the Dom and the sub would work together to identify those negative thoughts, patterns, and behaviors, and then challenge those beliefs by asking questions such as, well, what evidence do you have that people would think you're incompetent?
Absolutely none.
Right? Or have there been times when you've actually done it and it's gone well?
Several, in fact, actually.
Ding, 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 right? And then the Dom would help the sub develop coping strategies, such as deep breathing exercises or positive self-talk to manage the anxiety during the scene. And eventually, through practice and repetition, the sub learns healthier ways of responding to the situation and gradually becomes more comfortable, and hopefully their fear diminishes over time and they can start to scene publicly with less anxiety and greater confidence. Things like Dara doing the splashing in a controlled environment and realizing it went well, everybody loved it. So maybe the next time you invite more people to see it, and eventually you might be able
become
to
become
more
comfortable. So it's like an incremental change.
It's training. It's training you to get past the fear and not necessarily throwing you in the deep end of the pool going swim.
Yeah, no, I would just drown.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
No drowning.
But I like CBT because I think it's a way to gradually train somebody versus just going, well, you should.
I really, really love the fact that, once again, Rara and I do things differently. She has her form of CBT that she likes, and I have mine, and they're very different.
I don't want to hurt the cock and balls.
Okay, you don't have to. I'll do it for you.
That's fine. If that's what somebody wants, I am not saying it's not totally valid. It's just not my kink. I want to hurt them. I just don't want to hurt the cock and balls.
That's fine. Like I said, I will do it for you. I don't have a problem with that.
Then there's also applied behavior analysis, ABA, which I want to call it ABBA, but I don't think that's really, it's not the same thing. So it's actually a very fancy systematic approach to understanding and changing behavior. And it's often used with subs who might have developmental disabilities or on the autism spectrum, which I am running into more and more Kingsters who do fall into the autism spectrum.
A friend I was just telling you about before just got diagnosed this week with being on the autism spectrum. And she was telling me all this stuff and I'm like, yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. How did we not pick up on this 20 years ago?
So listen, I know people who now looking back, knowing everything I know about autism spectrum disorder, going, yeah, totally in the spectrum. But then we just went, they're weird. They have quirks.
Yeah. They're quirky. They're antisocial. They don't do this. And then it's like, oh shit. No, this makes sense now. But like, it's partly because there's more research going into it. And it's not just people who are nonverbal and can't look you in the eye.
Spectrum.
And it's right. But back in the day, that is what was identified as autistic.
Yeah.
Which is why girls were almost never identified as autistic.
So ABA basically breaks down complex behaviors into smaller measurable components and then uses reinforcement techniques to teach those skills. So I've learned about this from Lord Allen. About things like you can't just tell them your chore is laundry.
No, God, no.
You have to list it into small chunks.
Yeah, I think we talked about that during that episode.
Right?
Yes, laundry is my kryptonite because of that. There is no do laundry one step. No, laundry is like 12 to 16 steps.
Right. And for me, it's one step, do laundry.
Nope.
I mean, I know it's got sub bullet points. Because you got to do it in a certain order. Because you can't do the dryer before the washing machine.
Well, so. Clearly, that's just ridiculous.
So basically, you can use any or all a combination of these approaches, depending upon what the sub needs, the preferences, and the specific behavior that you're targeting to change. And effective behavior modification means you've got to assess, plan, and monitor to achieve those lasting results. This is all in an ideal situation. Not to mention, you have to be prepared that if you try one thing, maybe you're trying positive reinforcement techniques because you don't want to do punishments, but the positive reinforcement techniques are not working. So now you try the negative reinforcements and try that. And then from there, you can go to punishment. So the behavior modification techniques that you probably hear the most about when it comes to DS Dynamics are specifically reinforcement and punishment.
Yeah, those are basically the only ones that anybody has ever taught.
Right. So again, your positive reinforcement techniques can include things like verbal affirmations and rewards. So it might be depending upon if the submissive has come to you and said, listen, I want to change this behavior. You might have to do more of a reward thing. Or if it's just a dom would like to change the behavior and it's something simple and easy, then it's just a matter of that whole good job, good girl, good boy, good pet, whatever. That, you know, when you have a praise kink, it will train us to do the right thing so that you get praised. There's obviously physical rewards and pleasures. It could be physical touch, sexual gratification could be used to reinforce desired behaviors. You're cuddling, you're kissing, orgasms. I would like orgasms as a reward.
No, you wouldn't, because then you would have to not have them. And they would just be the reward.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Then I wouldn't sleep well.
Right. So no, that would not work for you.
That also explains why I didn't sleep well last night. I got waxed and you're not supposed to touch that area for like 24 hours after waxing.
Yeah. No.
All right.
Rara just had an apostrophe.
I did. Then you also hear about punishment strategies. A lot of times it's stuff like impact, like spanking or paddling or whipping to get rid of undesirable. And it could be light spanking for minor infractions to more intense forms of impact play. And I'm not talking punishment, guys. That's punishment is a whole different attitude. I'm talking about actual punishment. And then, of course, there's the withholding rewards or privileges. You know, we can't go out to see this movie or you're not allowed to watch that TV show that you wanted to watch.
If you really mean you could deny orgasm.
Don't do that. That's so mean. I mean, do it because it's awesome.
You're mean.
I like edging.
Okay.
How many times do we have to go over this?
Now, there's some ethical considerations when it comes to BDSM behavior modification. Number one, consent. Number two, consent. Number three, consent. And number four, consent.
I see what you're going for okay? here.
All right. It has to be consensual. Any and all of this. You cannot decide as the dominant. I don't like that behavior. I'm going to change that behavior. And I'm going to turn my submissive into Pavlov's sub.
I'm just picturing somebody ringing a bell and the sub going, yes.
I am sure some dominant somewhere has done something that just for funsies.
I would. I think that's hilarious.
Listen, it's no different than I hear the thwack of impact. And my little face is like, what? What?
Where is it?
You know, rope. I swear to God, you know what would be a good reward? Just like wrap me in rope. You don't even have to tie it up. Just literally as soon as the rope touches my skin, I'm like.
Just drape it.
Just drape it over me.
You would look really good in a rope dress. You should do that.
I've actually done rope corsets a couple times. I started off with rope corsets before I ever got to rope suspension.
I feel like you should do like the first scene you should do in at a like maybe a dungeon night is be tied in a rope dress and then like a mini dress and have to walk around like that.
You know I would do it.
I know, but I'd like to see how you behave wrapped in rope the entire time because your reaction to rope is so different than your normal personality.
It mellows me.
Right.
It really mellows me.
I think that would be really funny.
We'll have to see. We'll have to find somebody who can do that.
All right. That would take a lot of rope. Just for your boobs.
But yeah. Actually, it just goes around my boobs and my boobs will stick out. Okay. It's a dungeon dress.
Yeah. That I really want to see it.
But seriously, when it comes to consent, and I think this is super important, and I know we say it, but I don't think you can oversay it. Even when it comes to things like punishment, you need consent. You can't create a punishment that your submissive hasn't consented to. Even when it comes to rewards, you need consent. And that might sound silly to you, like I'm doing something good. I'm giving them something. Why do I need their consent? Well, first of all, maybe they don't want that reward. Maybe to them, what you're doing is not a reward. It's a punishment. Like, for instance, when you take the fucking rabbit fur on my body, that's
poor
not
Rara.
A reward. That's a punishment.
She's so traumatized.
I'm a little harsh about that, okay? In fact, when he does it, he totally harshes my mellow. My mellow is the hitting, not the rabbit fur.
You are weird.
How long have we known each other?
Just,
are you just figuring that out?
Nope. just a comment that I think I make every time we record.
Somebody posted in the patron server about weirdos, and I typed in, did you say you need a weirdo reporting for duty?
That would be all of us, though.
And then I go, I'm busy planning a blood play party. If that alone doesn't make me a weirdo, I don't know what does.
Yeah,
and procrastinating Kim was like, oh, no, that does. Yeah, totally. That alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you need to sit down with each other and talk it through because the submissive might have some very valuable insights into what would work for them and what would not. For me, with the flossing, I knew just disappointing daddy was enough of a consequence. And I didn't want to have that consequence, so I was going to floss.
That's the fucking worst one.
Oh, the I'm disappointed in you.
Oh, God. That look and the guilt that comes with it. Jesus Christ, that's manipulative.
You have to use your power. With great power comes great responsibility.
My God.
But you also need to set up limits and establishing all the consent guidelines that you normally would. You want to make sure, of course, that anything that you come up with is safe in the sense that it is not too much. You know, the punishment equals the crime. And you also need to figure out if you're setting up aftercare and emotional support because, right, you've disappointed me. You can't just say that and walk away and leave your submissive to stew.
That's psychological torture.
Right, which is against the Geneva Convention.
You cannot do that. You will be arrested.
You will. I could just say, you're going to the police officer. Officer,
I would like to report a crime.
No, no,
my
no.
My daddy said he was disappointed in me and walked away.
You're not doing it right. Ostafer, a guy report a crime.
I don't talk like that, ever.
I do. So this because you're picturing me doing it, therefore. And then, by the way, the officer is a stuffy, most likely a panda.
Is he wearing a badge? Do we have to get you a panda with a badge and a police cap?
I need a panda officer.
You need a panda officer. Do you think?
Oh.
Ooh, does Build-A-Bear have pandas?
Wait, now I need to check.
That is going to check with this while I finish.
Go ahead.
Talking about this. The whole point is behavior modification really freaking works. If you happen to be a parent, then you do it with your kids all the time. So you're already predispositioned to do behavior modification. If you're a dominant, understand, they do. I'm looking at her face. They totally do it, Build-A-Bear. So, and that's in an officer outfit.
Oh my God, it's okay.
We need that.
Needs a hat.
Yes.
Where's the hat? Oh,
she found it. Can you tell?
Oh my God. It's not just a panda bear. They have all, obviously you just pick the bear and then you buy the outfit, but oh my God.
Okay. All right. We got to get you that for your birthday. We'll get you that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. You also should not, if you're a dominant, I'm so excited over our panda bear. I lost my train of thought. If you are a dominant, you need to use behavior modification for good and not evil.
They're so cute.
Oh my God.
I'm gone.
She's off, folks.
The badge says BBPD, Build-A-Bear Police Department.
Of course it does. What are we going to call him? Ossifer what?
Oh. Ooh, that's a good question. Should we have patrons do a decision thing?
Yeah. See, another reason to join our Patreon at patreon.com/pinkingpodcast. Maybe where you could get to vote on this.
Maybe we should do this before my birthday?
Well, it's going to take us that long to come up with a name.
It's gonna have to be an Easter present.
Okay.
Yeah. The Jewish person can give the raised Catholic person an Easter present.
Oh, I am?
Yeah. And it's a Build-A-Bear police officer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. This in 2 weeks. We got time.
Plenty of time. I have nothing else to do until then.
No, nothing.
Can I finish this episode so we can then go on to your soapbox?
Yeah.
I know you've been anxiously awaiting the soapbox.
But.
I know, but panda.
But panda, okay.
If you are a submissive, you can ask your dominant to set up behavior modification programs for you because you know yourself and what would work and what wouldn't work and talk to them and sit down together and figure it all out. Do you have anything else you want to add? Because I'm like, I'm so tired. I can't see straight. And now your panda has messed up my headspace too.
Yeah, but it's a really cute panda.
No, it is really cute. And he looks adorable in his police officer costume.
I think that I am so tired. Like, the hangover hit like halfway through this episode. Like, I was fine up until I started to not be. And like...
That makes total sense.
Right?
You were fine until you weren't.
I was...
Duh.
That's how it works. But like, my right eye is not working. So like when you said I can't see straight, I'm like, no, I haven't been able to see straight this whole time. It's like blurry in my right eye.
I did find something I wanted to touch on really quick though.
Okay.
I'll be good. Consistency.
Uh-huh.
If you are a dominant using behavior modification with your submissive, consistency is the key. If you are going to reward them for certain behaviors or consequences for certain behaviors, please fucking follow through, Daddy J. Sorry, did that slip out? Oops. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
You let the inside thoughts come out.
I love you, Daddy J, but yeah, you gotta be consistent with
it. I'm okay with him not being consistent. I don't see the problem with this at all.
But the problem with not being consistent is the behavior modification is not going to work, as evidenced by the fact that Dara doesn't let her. Does he know you're here? Did you let him know?
I did.
Okay.
As soon as we sat down, I went, ooh, and then texted.
Good job.
By the way, he says hi.
Hi.
Because after we started recording is when I noticed that he said, tell Rara I said hi. So I'm telling you now, hi.
Listen, I only feel safe saying all this because he doesn't listen.
No, he really doesn't.
So
I should really just not wear my headphones when editing anymore.
Especially this part.
Yeah, no, this part I'll turn the volume up really, really loud.
But if you aren't consistent with whatever you've worked out, be it punishments, rewards, consequences, whatever, if you're not consistent, you're not going to be able to modify that behavior.
That makes sense.
And submissives need to know. I know from when I was a submissive, I need to know that what you say is what's going to happen and you are going to follow through. Because if you don't, not only does my behavior not change, but it's difficult to respect. If especially you expect your dominant, if your dominant says something that they're going to do, they're going to do it. And if the dominant doesn't do it, it does tend to make you question, how dominant really are you? And how much does our deist dynamic mean to you that you're not willing to put in the effort? So please be consistent, be it monitoring the progress, following through on what you say you're going to do, adjusting your techniques as needed, checking in to see how it's doing, you know, be it weekly, monthly, depending upon what you come up with. You can use these techniques for things specific to your dynamic. Now, let's say you just want to create a protocol that your submissive always has to walk on your right side. So you come up with a way to modify that behavior so it just becomes natural that they always walk on your right side. So daily rituals, you can have training sessions, any of this, all of this works for behavior modification. Am I even still making sense at this point? I feel like I'm rambling.
No, you are rambling a little bit. Okay. Do you want to just wrap it up?
I think that might be.
Because I'm passing out.
You're passing out. I'm rambling. We're tired.
We need a coffee break.
Oh, yeah. I've been drinking coffee this whole time.
Well,
it'd be worse.
Same, but I feel like I need to go lay down on the mats over on the other side of the dungeon area and just take a nap and then, you know.
Yeah, you do that.
We'll be fine.
You're done for.
Yeah. Okay. So, we got to wrap it up.
We got to go nap, folks. But please come back next week and listen to Dara's kerfuffle, because I'm very excited to not be the one kerfuffling.
Oh, I'm going to probably piss people off.
Ooh, and I'm here for that. Thanks for hanging out with us today. If you enjoyed what you heard, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a minute of our fun and educational content. New episodes drop every Friday.
If you love what we do and want to show support, there are several ways. Join us on Patreon at patreon.com/pinkkinkpodcast. You can support our affiliates or help spread the word about our kinky podcast to your friends.
Don't forget to rate and review Pink Kink on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Those 5-star reviews go a long way in boosting our podcast through the algorithm and reaching more listeners.
Sign up for our Pink Kink Institute classes. Shop at our Etsy shop, Pink Kink Boutique. Stay connected with us on social media. You'll find all the links on our link tree posted in the show notes.
Your support means the world to us. So until next time, stay pretty, stay safe,
and stay twisted.